Saving Thousands is brought to you in part by RP Funding. RP Funding, Inc. is licensed and can offer loans in Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, Louisiana, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and West Virginia, and is also licensed by the Mississippi Department of Banking and Consumer Finance and by the Pennsylvania Department of Banking and Securities. Office is located at 500 Winterly Place, Suite 300, Maitland, Florida, 32751. Telephone 321-397-4420. RP Funding's nationwide mortgage licensing system ID number is 70168, Equal Housing Opportunity, and Robert Palmer's NMLS ID number is 76197.
Welcome back, and yes, we are Saving Thousands with Robert Palmer right here on the Saving Thousands Radio Network. Robert, we kicked off the show at the top of the hour with financial advice based on the 15 Saving Thousands Rules to Success. I love those rules. What do you say we review some of the actual rules themselves and have you explain them?
Let's recap the rules, Rob. We've all talked about these. Rule number one, always shop around. All purchases, banks, ATM fees, credit cards, mortgages, life insurance, car insurance. I could go on and on. Rule number one here on Saving Thousands is always shop around. Rule number two is know your numbers. All right, know your numbers. This is your credit score. We've talked a lot about that this week, how to dispute items, the balances on your cards, the interest rates on your cards, car loans, mortgages, everything. So you've got to know your numbers. All right, rule number three is the three-day rule. This is the pledge that all of us financial ninjas here on the Saving Thousands Radio Network, before we take on any type of major purchase or before we apply for any type of credit or take out any type of new loan, we are going to think about it for 3 days. All right. This used to be a rule that was used in dating and one that I've inaccurately tried to use on my now wife.
Wow.
But it's much better when applied to finance, not so good when applied to romance. So, 3 day rule. We're going to wait 3 days before we make any decisions on a large purchase. And it really does empower you. When you're sitting there with that pushy sales guy and he's like, you know, when he leans in and he offers you the pen, right? You know, like these 1960s closing techniques, like, oh, would you like to use my pen or your pen? I don't need a pen at all. Thank you. I'm going to wait 3 days before I make a decision. You know, well, what can we do to get you to commit today? You can't do anything to get me to commit today because I'm going to wait 3 days because I listened to Robert Palmer on the Saving Thousands Radio Network and I'm going to follow the 3 day rule. So it's a good way for you to push off that pushy sales guy. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to push off that clerk in line at the department store who's trying to sell you a high interest rate credit card. Would you like to sign up for your whatever card today to save 20%? I would love to, but I have to take that pamphlet, go home and read it, and wait 3 days and make a decision. And if I still think it's a good idea, I will come back here and buy more of your glop or whatever it is I'm buying, and I will get the discount then. So that's the 3 day rule. That's the first three rules we talk about a lot. So moving on, maybe some new territories from our listeners. Rule number four is we are not going to abuse credit, but we're not going to fear it either. All right. So
very important.
Don't abuse credit. This is big, you know, but don't fear it either. The solution is not to just have no credit. The solution is not to bury your head in the sand and be afraid of credit and think that you can get through life with nothing and no credit score. Because let me tell you, where maybe 10 or 15 years ago you could, we are moving more and more and more toward a society where the credit score is used in so many parts of your life, from insurance to any type of business financing. I mean, there's just so many ways that score is being used that you can't ignore it. And you know, we maybe had a chance as consumers to fight this trend. That ship has sailed. It is getting more and more mass appeal to businesses and to all aspects of our life. So we can't be afraid of credit. The other reason is there's ways you can take advantage of credit and you can make money. You can arbitrage. You can, you can take advantage of that 6 months interest free and then invest your money in a mutual fund and make some cash. You can take advantage of that car deal where it's 6 months interest free and put your money to work somewhere else. You can take advantage of those airline miles. You know, I get a couple of nice vacations a year off of my American Express points. And if I was afraid of credit, see, I've got the money. I don't have to use credit. I could pay cash for everything. I could use a debit card for everything. That's another issue we've talked about is the risks of using a debit. I may have to make that a rule, Rob. That just
we need to put that
financial on. Ninjas don't use debit cards. I think I may jump out there and be that bold with it. So all these things, you can't be afraid of credit, right? It doesn't work. And so what I'm going to do here on the show is I'm going to teach you how to use credit to your advantage. That's what we do. But you've got to have it. You can't a life with zero debt. With zero credit just doesn't work in today's society. Now, I'm not saying be a slave to debt. I'm not saying bury yourself. But, you know, there's some great tax benefits to having a mortgage. There's a lot of benefits to using credit cards and then just paying them off every month. If you pay them in full every month during the grace period, you haven't cost yourself any interest, but you're able to take advantage of the miles or the rebates, the protections, right? There's all these great things there. So that's rule number four. Don't abuse credit, but don't fear it either. Rule number five is if you know their tricks, they won't work, right? And so,
I love that.
So for this, you know, I really do believe, and I know from experience, that big financial services companies absolutely use tricks to try to confuse us and get us to overspend, get us to not pay our bills on time. You know, we talked about the trick of trying to get consumers to go paperless. You know, they want you to give up getting paper statements and deliver them to you electronically because then they can hide all the disclosures. That's the trick. Because then you don't know how much money you could save by paying it off in 3 years instead of 20 years by only sending in an extra $10 a month. You know, these are the tricks. They want you to sign up for that credit card in line when you're not paying attention, when you're not asking questions like, what's the annual fee? What's the APR? They want you to float that mortgage rate. They want you to not lock in. They want to let you float around out there and flop around as a floater, you know, who has no control of their destiny and give them all the power back. That's one of the tricks. And as a consumer, if we know the tricks, they don't work anymore. They can't trick us if we know what they're trying to do. So rule number five, if you know their tricks, they don't work.
If you're new to the show, you might be wondering, where did the 15 Saving Thousands Rules to Success come from anyway? Well, Robert Palmer owns a very successful mortgage company. And before starting that company, he had spent years in the mortgage industry. Now imagine the tens of thousands of credit reports, credit applications, and actual potential borrowers that he studied. Robert found that there were stark differences between the people who had good credit and those with low scores. He saw trends in financial habits, and from that, he was compelled to create the list of easy-to-understand, easy-to-follow guidelines about money. Ergo, the 15 Saving Thousands Rules. All right, Robert, speaking of those rules, let's get back to them.
Rule number six, you've got to spread your knowledge. You've got to educate your friends and family. You know, for so long, money and finance and credit scores was this taboo, and nobody wanted to talk about it. And I think the newer generation, the younger generation coming up, is more open to talking about it. You know, that there's no shame there. Why are we afraid to talk about it? And I honestly believe that this fear, this taboo, was created by big financial services companies, the financial services industry, because by keeping us from being willing to talk about it, the tricks will work more. They can confuse us more. We don't have the power of our core group and our support group and our friends and family knowing what's going on. You know, no one wants to tell their friends and family they have a bad credit score. But if you told them, then maybe they can help you fix it. You know, they can help you make better decisions. No one wants to talk about where they are financially, how much money they make, all these things in their lives. But if we talk about it, we can make better financial decisions. We can be a financial core group. You know, Rob, when I was a kid, my mom brought home her paycheck in cash and showed me, this is what I get every month, this stack of money right here, and I'm going to show you where it goes. And there's a lot of parents that are probably just appalled at that. Why, you would tell your kid how much money you make? You would show your child what your finances looked like? One of the best things that she ever did for me. I mean, if you want to talk about an education and mm-hmm. why do I understand so much about this? Well, being exposed to it at a young age and seeing the real world numbers and watching her take the pile of cash, which to me is however old I was, you know, 9, 10, seemed like all the money in the world. And then watching the pile for income tax and the pile for rent or for the mortgage and the pile for the credit cards and the pile for food and the pile for car insurance. And all of a sudden there was nothing left. And that huge pile of money that seemed like to a little kid a fortune was gone right there in 1 month, gone. And if we don't talk about it, if we don't spread our knowledge, if we don't share this with our friends, if we don't tell our friends about resources like this radio show, and we don't tell our friends about the things we learned and about the rules and to shop around and to wait 3 days and to know our numbers, we're doing them a huge disservice. And so we've got to stop this taboo. We've got to breakthrough. We've got to be stronger consumers. We've got to take back the power. And rule number six is spread that knowledge. You know, share it with your friends and family. Don't be afraid to talk about this stuff. Rule number seven, this is a big one. So rule number seven is if you own or run a business, be transparent with your customers.
Amen.
Right. So if I can reach, I think we have like 100, 120,000 listeners a week here on the Saving Thousands Radio Network. Mm-hmm. So if I can reach 100 or 120,000 people and get them to follow these rules, that's big. But if I can reach some business owners or some business managers, some people who have the power to take their business down a different path, where they encourage their consumer to shop around. They encourage their consumer to rate through. I mean, rate threes. Imagine if you went to that car dealership and they said, okay, sir, we know you want to buy this car. We want you to go home 3 days and think about it and make sure it's the right decision for you, right? I mean, some sales manager just jumped out of his window just hearing me say that.
Right.
But, you know, these are the types of things that if businesses buy into, then the other however many million people that don't listen to me can benefit as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, rule number 7 is about spreading. It's my way to spread this knowledge by encouraging business owners and business managers to run their business like I do, in a way that puts consumers first and in a way that reinforces the rules and the principles we teach here on the Saving Thousands Radio Network. Rule number 9 is practice what you learn and always learn more. So this is one of yours, Rob. Rob Newton contributed this one. If you don't practice it, what's the point? I mean, if you're not going to do this stuff, if you're not going to shop around, if you're not going to know your numbers, if you're not going to wait 3 days, if you're not going to, you know, refuse to abuse credit, and if you're going to fear credit, and if you don't want to know their tricks, and if you do know them, you're still going to let them pull them on you, then what do you go flip over to classic rock or pop music or something? I mean, why are you wasting your time listening to me if you're not going to put this stuff into practice? So rule number 8 is practice what you learn, and then you've always got to learn more. I am a constant student. I can still learn, you know, and I think no matter how big my company is, no matter how much I do and how much I know, I can always learn more, and there's always someone I can learn from. And I'm always reading books, and I'm always listening to other shows, and I'm always trying to educate myself, and I think that's an important rule. So that's number 8, practice what you learn and always learn more.
Earlier in the show, I referred to the Saving Thousands website, aptly named savingthousands.com. This is such a useful reference for everybody who wants empowerment. You'll not only find those rules to success that we've been talking about, but past editions of this very radio show. Numerous articles, a collection of the Money Minutes is broadcast on radio daily, and as always, the information at savingthousands.com is relatable to you and me and everyday money situations, from groceries to mortgages and just about everything in between. Well, we've heard rules 1 through 8 so far. We've created a wealth of empowerment, and the wallets will reflect that as soon as this week. That's the entire goal, Robert. What's rule number 9?
Rule number 9 is share your successes. So this is different. So sharing the knowledge, right? Sharing the knowledge is about telling other people what's going on and sharing the resources and a way to learn. Sharing your successes is when you then go back and say, hey, you know what? I did some of this stuff and I actually saved some money. You know, Rob, you've told me some stories before of, you know, when we first went on the radio together and you know, you tried some of the stuff I was talking about.
And I did.
And you saved some money.
I tell you what, and I just tried some the other day. One of the things that Robert always talks about from the earliest days we were on radio together, 7-some years ago, and that was going back to shopping around. And so the other day I did my financial house cleaning. I had kind of a light day. And so what I did was when I got home from this job, I went over all the bills. And the next day when I had an hour or two, I contacted every one of those suppliers. The first one was the cable guy. And I ended up doing what Robert Palmer taught me to do. And I said, please tell me the plan I'm under because I'm up for the year's contract in 30 days. So let's not wait till the last day. Let's start today. Well, Mr. Newton, we don't need to do that. No, you're okay. No, you're all right.
They want you to float.
Yeah. I said, no, I'm not all right because I don't want to be surprised in 30 days by you renewing a contract. So, Robert, in short, here's what happened. I insisted right then that we discussed every tier of channels I get. What they did was they went ahead and gave me 3 more tiers of channels for the same money I'm spending today. Had I not shopped around, I never would have got that. Never. So I did that with my cable, and then I went to Verizon, and then I went to my other bills, and I beat them all 3, thanks
Perfect.
To you.
Perfect. See, this is what sharing your successes, rule number 9, is all about. Because when your friends and family and other listeners hear that this stuff does work and that you did try it and that you don't have to be a financial guru, you don't have to be the owner of a big company, you don't have to be a mortgage guy, you don't have to be a financial guy, you don't have to be a talk show host on the radio to do these things. Anybody can do them. And so you've got to share your successes because that's what's going to help us spread this culture to other people. Mm-hmm. Because what really makes the whole Saving Thousands charter powerful is when enough consumers are following it that businesses have to change and businesses have to react and businesses have to stop the abusive practices that they've gotten so good at, right? Because we're done as consumers. We're not going to do it anymore. We're not going to put up with it. We're going to follow the rules, and we're going to only want to work with businesses who encourage people to follow the rules, and it's going to be this whole revolution. And so you've got to share your successes. Other people have to be aware and have to know that this is working for you, because that's going to be their motivation to do better and to be smarter and to stop being a financial zombie and to stop meandering around out there floating in a raft with no anchor and becoming a financial ninja and making good decisions.
And I think maybe we need to add a rule somewhere along the line. Maybe it's going to be rule number 38. I don't know. Never take no, the first no for an answer. Because the first thing when I talked to the cable was, no, we can't change anything now. Oh, they ended up changing a lot before the conversation was over.
Right.
But first they said no. So when you first call a bank for a refi, or you first call an auto place and you say, here's the car I want and I want it for this price, the first thing they're going to say is, well, come down and we'll talk about
it. That's right.
And that's pretty much just a no. That's kind of like your mom saying, ask your dad or we'll see.
That's it. Absolutely. You know, it is. It's. And so imagine this. Imagine if they called you and said, hey, Mr. Newton, we noticed you've been a loyal customer and, you know, your renewal's up in 2 months and we'd like to give you some free channels, you know, and then they sit back and say, well, God, we would lose all this money. How could we ever do that? And what I've proven in my business and my argument is that you will gain so many happy customers.
And they tell everybody else.
Exactly. You know, and if you look, you know, if you take cable TV for an example, you know, their practices is what led to the rise of DirecTV and AT&T UVerse and Fios and all these others. If they did a great job, because the product is the same, right? I mean, TV is really TV. I mean, other than NFL Sunday Ticket on DirecTV, there's not a whole lot of differences. It comes down to how you treat your customer.
It's service.
And so if they treated everybody right, yeah, they would not be able to gouge us on the premium channels. But if they had 30% more subscribers because they did it the right way, then they wouldn't need to gouge anybody on those extra channels. And that's the philosophy I took. And yeah, I know it's scary. And a lot of businesses are going to sit back and say, well, that would never work for us. There's a car dealer saying, oh, if I told everybody to go wait 3 days, I'd never sell another car. And I argue, no, if you've got a good product at a good price, you'll sell a lot more of it. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, they're going to tell their friend, hey, this crazy car guy, he told me to go home for 3 days and sleep on it. He told me to go check out the competitor and see what their price is. And he told me to go test drive the Honda, even though he's selling Kias, and to make sure I didn't like it better. And I liked his the best, so I'm going back, and now I'm going to tell all my friends. And I would guarantee you, as counterintuitive as it seems to him, they would sell more cars. Now, they're not going to make as much money per car because, you know, what a lot of companies, they live to take advantage of that one poor guy who doesn't shop around,
yeah.
Right? And so don't let that be you, right? don't let you be the poor sucker who didn't shop around who gets taken advantage of. But that's how a lot of businesses run. That's how the mortgage industry is, and that's how I was in a lot of years of my career. But when you realize that by not doing that, by giving everybody a great deal and caring about every consumer and taking care of every consumer, the benefits of the word of mouth and of the, you know, the fact that people do trust you and do want to do business with you, and it's not this adversarial relationship where, you know, you go high five your sales manager because you got him, and then he goes home and is so upset because he realizes he got taken 3 days later when he realizes what he could have gotten the car for or what rate he could have gotten or how many fees he paid. They're going to hate you. And you not want past customers hating you. That's not good business.
That's right.
That's not good business at all.
Robert believes in that business philosophy so much that at his company, RP Funding, customers are asked to review the services they're getting several times during the mortgage process. In fact, the actual pay for staff members is usually affected by those reviews. Take a look at your own operation and see where it could be more transparent and more customer-driven. Again, credit is such a major factor in so many areas of our lives. Folks, you just don't think about it. We're not only talking credit cards and loans of every type, but the credit score is used in setting your insurance rates and is even part of the criteria used by some companies when it comes to hiring you. So take advantage of your free credit reports each year. Keep track of your credit as you would the cash in your very wallet. Okay, now I have a question from a listener. John over in Haines City wants to buy a second home, and he wants to use it as a rental. The house currently brings in $875 a month in rent. Now the question is this.
Can he use the rental income as part of his income information when applying for his mortgage?
All right. So first off, you use the word second home. And then you talked about a rental. That's a problem, right? So, and again, I get this. I mean, Jonathan's not in the industry, and he probably doesn't mean what we mean by second home. But I do want to explain to our audience that there are three types of residences when it comes to finance, okay? And these make a difference to us because they carry different levels of risk, and they have different interest rates. So the first is your primary residence.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then when we use the term second home in the industry, we're talking vacation home, right? So this is a home that you are going to spend time in. You are not going to rent it out. This is your second home. This is your vacation home. And what we find is there is a lower risk to us as a lender for someone who is buying a vacation home that they're going to use personally versus a home they're planning on renting out. And the reason is if you're buying a vacation home for your own personal use, you are planning on making the payment out of your personal funds for the entire year.
If you
are buying an investment property, that means you are planning on hopefully having a tenant or a renter who makes the payment for you. So what happens if said tenant or said renter does not make the payment for you? What happens if they lose their job? What happens if they flake out? What happens if they pack up in the middle of the night and disappear? Now you don't have the money coming in to pay that payment. And you were never planning on paying the payment out of your own money the way you were if you were buying a vacation home that you were just going to have. And you're like, hey, you know, honey, we're doing well this year. We love to go down to New Smyrna Beach. Let's buy a little condo on the ocean over there. And we're not going to rent it out. We're just going to use it for our personal use. We can afford the $1,000 a month in our budget. Let's do it. Let's reward ourselves.
Yeah.
That's different than saying, I'm going to buy a condo and I'm going to rent it out. I'm going to make money off of it. And all of a sudden, if I ever had to pay that $1,000 a month out of my own pocket, I would be in trouble. And so, again, Rob, this, again, gets into risk. So if you can afford the rental property without a tenant, then if things ever go wrong, you will qualify. You'll be okay. You can afford to make the payment. If the only way you can afford that rental property is by having a tenant in there and by utilizing the rent to offset the payment, what happens when the tenant moves out? What happens when the tenant files bankruptcy? What happens when the tenant can't make the payment? You now cannot afford to make the payment. So while there are some loan programs that will allow us to consider the potential rental income of an investment property, they have a lot of other gotchas. We want to see a lot of months of reserves.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see a lot of history maintaining rental properties. It's not just an easy yes. And my personal advice is if you cannot afford the rental property with it being vacant, if you can't afford to go 12, I want you to sit there right now and say, if I had to go 12 months without a tenant, would it destroy my life financially? And if the answer is yes, then don't buy the rental property because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing you want to do, and I understand why people buy rental properties. I mean, they're trying to better themselves. They're trying to build for wealth. They're trying to expand their financial situation. But if you are not in a financial situation where you can afford to go 12 months, and will you ever have to go 12 months? Probably not. But who knows? I mean, who would have ever thought home prices could drop the way they dropped in 2008 and 9, right?
A rock.
So if you can't afford to go 12 months without getting a dime of rent, my advice to you is do not buy that rental property. Do not take the risk. Do not put your finances in jeopardy by taking on something you can't handle. Buy a smaller rental property.
All right.
Right? Maybe you've got $20,000 or $30,000 for the down payment, so you're thinking you're going to buy a nice little $100,000 investment property. Go buy a $30,000 investment property cash, or buy a $60,000 investment property and have the mortgage be low enough that you could afford to pay it. The other thing I will tell you to be cautious of, the same conversations we just had. If $60,000 home A is a condo and the monthly dues are $1,000 a month, that will be more than your mortgage payment. This is a problem. So keep all that in mind. You've got to look at the homeowner association or condo dues, the property taxes. And here's the other gotcha with an investment property. You don't get to file homestead exemption.
Thank you, Robert. That brings us to the end of the show. But there's more empowering information at the website I mentioned, savingthousands.com. And you can always hear full versions of the Saving Thousands radio show by accessing Robert's exclusive station on the iHeartRadio app. With all of this information and all of us trying to help you, you will save thousands with Robert Palmer.